Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Colin Markovich, joined today by...
Aaron Gretsch, Assistant News Editor.
Nathan Swift, Arts and Entertainment Editor.
Amy Zahn, Assistant News Editor.
Welcome back to the newsroom, everybody, the people behind the paper. Everybody, welcome back from spring break. It's been a long while since we've done the show, and this is Nathan's first time back on the show since, before winter quarter, right?
Basically winter quarter. Yeah. I had a class at this time, which was unfortunate because the first show we had for this fall quarter was my first time, so it's good to be back after a quarter's length.
Yeah, it feels
gone.
Feels good to be back in a small, dark room filled with other people and that is warm and stuffy, right?
Well, the lights are on right now, so...
Shh, they don't have to know that.
There's a lot of things they don't know about. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us, and thank you to the listeners for listening in. We're going to talk about some of our adventures and misadventures over spring break, as it were, as kind of like a last hurrah before everybody has to get started with the real world again. You know, academics, classes, all that boring stuff, real world responsibility stuff. Then we'll move to some other things that are happening around the UC. First of all, there were UC President Janet Napolitano's comments in regards to a protest that happened during one of the UC Regents meetings. We'll discuss some of the implications of what she said and what the response is to that. And then we will talk briefly about ASUCR, which approved a new food pantry on campus, and kind of see how that affects students here at campus. But we'll go ahead and get started with some very simple and some very fun stuff first, which is spring break. Everybody, we are now back in spring quarter, back to academics, back to the real world. How does it feel?
Did spring break used to be 2 weeks?
I don't recall. I don't believe so.
Or was it winter break?
Winter break used to be like 3 or 4, right?
Winter break was 3 weeks, but my very first year, when I was but a wee freshman, it was 4 weeks.
Yeah.
By
a
glitch in the calendar. It happened to be almost, it was through the last 3 weeks of December and then 1 week of January, which was amazing. And I think it is the policy that the UC should implement for all of its winter breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my birthday's
huzzah.
In December,
yes.
So I could like have a birthday celebration, well, you know, not during school. I personally like that. UCR, Wilcox, hope you're listening.
By unanimous consent here at the newsroom, we have approved that the next winter break should be 4 weeks. If this policy does not happen, then we will be very upset.
Or at least I will.
Yeah, and I will see you two are graduating.
Oh, wait, yeah. No, I actually don't care. Never mind.
Well, Amy. After winter break always comes spring break, and it's always it's been 1 week, and it's pretty much not universally enough break time before we get back to the drag and the grind of things. But we can try. So did you guys do anything interesting over spring break that you want to share?
I visited a friend. His name's Tony. He took the winter quarter off. Just a lot of stress, and just, you know, he just needed the break. And he moved back to here in his apartment in the middle of spring break. And so I took the bus from my hometown to Riverside, and we hung out, kind of had like a bro sort of day. It was just the two of us, you know, went to Tala Mall, got food, hung out. And yeah, it was good to visit him. Are we allowed to talk about partying?
Well, now everybody knows that you did it because...
hey, I played the fifth on that.
Okay.
It only works on the government.
Oh, well. I mean, in case Nafi wants to catch me. I'm just kidding.
So Nathan, you had a fun time with your friend hanging out at the mall.
Yeah, and I had a few large social interactions with many people in single spaces.
Did anybody go to the beach for spring break? Usually that's what people do over spring break, right? Is you go
Why?
To the beach, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what happened, Abe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't go to a beach, but...
No, everyone bailed when I wanted to go.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I went to San Diego, but I did not go to any beaches.
But you were in San Diego.
Yeah, but I didn't leave the house.
You'd be a good apostate.
I don't know. To me, it might make sense to want to go to the beach this spring break because, you know, this was like one of our warmest winters on record. And so I didn't know if that was going to cross over into the spring because otherwise, you know, the spring is like the fall where it can be kind of 50-50, you know, really hot or really cold. But it was pretty warm all around. So, yeah. But yeah, I didn't.
Perfect beach spring break. And I'm kind of sad I didn't go to the beach.
What is the perfect spring break vacation? Like,
where?
In an ideal world, like, no, like, I guess on a college student budget, where would you go? What would be the best spring break getaway that you could do? I mean, right. I mean, beach is always a good option. I would say, like,
probably
Huntington Beach is usually
to
pretty good.
The restroom or to the kitchen when I
did
need
you say
a break
the restroom
from Netflix.
All right.
I would probably say La Jolla.
La Jolla.
La Jolla in San Diego. That's pretty nice.
There's a bunch of art museums there, and I know the beaches there are really nice.
Yeah.
What did you do when you were in San Diego, Amy?
Well, I was just visiting my brothers, so we just kind of hung out. And I missed my flight to Boston because I got sick, so no bitterness there
no.
whatsoever.
No.
Yeah, no bitterness at all, though. At all. Mm-hmm.
Is that sarcasm?
Yes, Nathaniel, it is.
So we all know that spring break is now over, and now everybody's at spring quarter now, which is the last quarter before everybody can feel the sweet release of summer vacation.
Or summer sessions.
Or summer sessions, but
or
don't
graduation.
Talk about that. Or graduation, and don't talk about that either. don't ruin my perfectly well-constructed narrative, guys.
Oh, sorry.
But if you are not doing summer sessions, and if you are not grading, spring break is that last rush, that last pull until you get to the grail that is summer vacation. So what are some tips for students maybe to just kind of like push themselves and get done with that last quarter?
Well, if you're me, you can drop all your hard classes. And I think that works really well.
So Amy's just like giving in to the inevitable, just acknowledging that there's no motivation and just.
Yeah, like my two hard classes just aren't happening this quarter. And I'm actually very happy about that, even though I've been taking them continuously for like 3 years. It's Greek and Latin, in case anyone was wondering.
For me, I don't know what you want to go on.
Go ahead, Aaron.
My advice is to take three upper division engineering courses,
mm-hmm.
all with Venkatram. So ME138. The one that's thermodynamics and something else. Oh, along with Latin.
Or business, yeah. 100W.
Yeah. Or business 100W. Just wait, all the hard classes.
These are very specific like course recommendations. Where are these coming from?
My best friend's an engineering major.
I'm just getting it from UC Riverside Confessions on Facebook where everyone complains about hard classes or whatnot.
And ME138 is pretty popular.
And yes,
about.
That is me throwing shade on UC Confessions.
Okay.
But anyways.
But seriously, guys, seriously. Yeah.
For me, I don't know, because from my perspective, or our perspective, I'm bad. People tend to stay indoors or kind of stay away from being social. Or,
wait, is this your advice?
No, I'm saying, like, sorry, I didn't clarify. In winter, people tend to do, you know, like, basically don't go out and, you know, don't tend to do things, And I was one of those people. And so I think the spring, you know, this is a great opportunity to basically go out, you know, be more active in our campus life. You know, this is the last quarter of the school year. You know, don't go out with a whimper. You know, go out, go to a spring splash, go to, you know, local concerts, go watch plays by the theater department, go on, you know, sports, you know, go on walks, be with friends, do things, you know, make your last quarter last.
Yeah, spring is actually a really nice time on campus. It's right before it gets way too hot, and then so you can be able to enjoy actually like seeing some like this stuff that the Botanical Gardens has
yes.
to offer.
Exactly.
Where you start seeing some of the flowers and some of the trees that are in bloom. So that's kind of nice to see, although I think they might be blooming earlier than usual this year because of all the warm weather. There's that, but make sure that you take some time to yourself to do the things that you want to do in between all of your commitments. That way you refresh your batteries and you're not just going to be tired out and done with everything before everything is actually done. So take breaks, do things that you want to do, enjoy your time in spring quarter. Don't overwork yourself at this time because summer vacation is just around the quarter.
Exactly.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, or on the KUCR app from the App Store, or on the TuneIn app from Android. All right. So with all that said, then, let's move on to the serious stuff. So our illustrious UC president, Janet Napolitano, recently was at a UC Board of Regents meeting, which during which some students were there and protesting. They're protesting the tuition plan that Napolitano and the Board of Regents passed last November, which would raise UC tuition by up to 5% every year. And Napolitano has announced that the increases in tuition will not go into effect for summer session, but she still has left it on the table for fall quarter of 2015, the upcoming fall quarter. And so students were at the UC Regents meeting to protest this, and during part of the meeting, they basically stripped themselves in front of the Board of Regents and were wearing basically two-piece garments covering up all the naughty bits. In response to that, UC President Janet Napolitano was caught on a mic saying, "Let's go. We don't have to deal with this insert word that is synonymous with human waste here." And then they broke and went to lunch. a lot of students were mildly upset, would be putting it very mildly. At this response. But what do you all think of the comments that she said? Is this indicative of her overall stance toward students, or is this sort of justified given the context in which she was presented? I mean, I can speak personally and say that I think that while I understand that, you know, being faced with half-naked people isn't usually something that you deal with on an ordinary day-to-day basis, and it's not something that you walk to work expecting to have to come to work and see. So on that regard, I can understand her frustration or her lack of knowing what it's supposed to be like. But she's also a politician and in a public sphere, and I think that she should understand that anything that she says will have ramifications on the way that she interacts with the student body. And I totally understand why students would be upset that she said the things that she said.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for myself, I'm like most students where I disagree with the tuition hike. I think one of our own senior staff members aptly put it, she's playing chicken with our state governor over who's going to fund, you know, our school. You know, they're playing chicken.
This in reference to Napolitano's tuition plan, intending to try to be used as a bargaining chip for Governor Jerry Brown to increase state funding for the University of California system.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, she's saying, "Give me money or I'm going to do something that could have negative impact on students and, you know."
Bunch of great students here. It'd be a shame if something happened to them.
Yeah, and Jerry Brown's kind of going, "Don't, you know, try not to do that, but I'm going to antagonize you a little bit, you know, by giving you less money than you need." So, yeah, and then in regards to this protest, I don't know. I do understand, you know, how you often don't see half naked people. Are we allowed to use that word?
Yeah, you could say naked.
Okay. You know, seeing
naked, naked.
That's a lot of naked. Okay. you know, yeah, like you're right. You know, it's not common to see half naked people protesting with words written on them right outside where you want to get work done. I'm not sure. I mean, do you guys think this is something that, you know, it's a regular human emotion, you know, frustration that simply slipped out, you know?
Well, you have to think of what caused the students to resort to such drastic measures, too. I mean, we said earlier, it's like they weren't being heard. They thought that they had to go to this extreme in order to get her attention, and it certainly got her attention.
I don't think any of that still makes it anything more than a slip of the tongue, though. I mean, I think we all agree she should have known better, but it was still just a slip of the tongue. I don't know.
Does what she said reflect the way that you think she feels towards students? That the concerns that they're offering are, that the concerns that they have are not worth her consideration?
I think we've kind of seen that though for a while. I mean, ever since she proposed that hike. I mean, like, if they're saying that, like, she's using us as a bargaining chip, like by saying, hey, we're gonna raise tuition in the midst of all like this like financial instability, especially with the fact that they might cut Pell grants over in Congress. I mean, with that, I mean, kind of shows that she's not holding up to their best interest. She's willing to sacrifice that instead of looking for other ways to fund the money.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I want to say that it was a normal human reaction, you know, for the slip of the tongue, you know, from the get-go, it's like what I said, you know, like earlier, this is a political game of chicken, and, you know, people get angry when you play chicken with their livelihoods and their futures and their careers. And just to play devil's advocate here, in case if you guys really want to get into it, you could argue that, you know, yes, the naked or half-naked, whatever, protests were distasteful, but the simple fact that this was an act of free speech, you know, in and of itself deserves to be recognized and heard.
When it comes to free speech, I mean, obviously that's not something, in the Constitution you can't ban free speech. You can't ban speech unless it poses a clear and present danger to someone's safety.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's well within their constitutional rights to do this. I think the interesting thing to look at is, I think, something that Aaron mentioned earlier, which is the students felt that they had the need to protest in this fashion, that they felt like this was the way that they needed to do. This is the way that they needed to act to be able to get their voices heard. And that says something, I think, about the relationship between the UC administration and the students who go to school at a UC. And, I mean, for that matter, if the students were right to act the way that they did, I guess the question is, then, this illustrates then that the relationship between students and the UC administration is just not working out. It's like it's very fraught. One side isn't listening to the other. One side isn't listening to the other side, or at least they don't feel like they're listening to each other. And so I'm curious. Do you think that there's anything that anyone on either side can do, whether it's the students or the UC administration, to try to bridge the divide that seems to be happening, to start communicating on a more effective level that I guess hasn't really been happening up to this point?
We talked a lot about this and, you know, bounced ideas off the wall in our office, you know, regarding this issue. And I think one of the numerous things that we all could agree upon was that there is a lack of communication between, you know, the general populace of the UC system, you know, the entire Regents, you know, board. So I think one of the ideas that we bounced off the wall was perhaps having representatives from each UC, either one representative or, you know, several. You know, those are details, you know. But, yeah, you know, that could perhaps give us a stronger voice for Napolitano to be heard. And especially given for those who believe that, you know, her... you know, waste comment was a simple slip of the tongue, then perhaps this type of voice being heard and that sort of matter, you know, behind the doors, representatives speaking to those in power, that could give, I don't want to say incentive, it could give her, yeah, the opportunity. It could present greater opportunity for our futures.
Amy, Aaron, any thoughts on your end?
Yeah, I mostly think, like, what we've been saying, we mostly just need to get, like, more people to talk to them directly in meetings. I mean, right now we only have a couple of student regents. Well, actually not.
Yeah, we have a student regent, Sadia Saifuddin, and a student regent designate, Avi Oved.
Yeah, who Avi Oved can't vote, and, like, Sadia is, like, the only regent that's a voting member. And so there's really not that much student representation. I mean, if there was just a way that we can get them to, like, discuss openly with us more, maybe we can, yeah.
The student regents or the regents together?
Together. To talk with all the, like, maybe even all the ASUC governments.
Like, have, like, some sort of, like, regular meeting between all the regents and, like, representatives from ASs?
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious. I actually didn't know we had a student regent. Is that guy from our school, or is he one student representing all the campuses?
Yeah, we have one student regent that is represented from all the UCs. The current student regent is Sadia Saifuddin, and she is from UC Berkeley. The student regent designate is Avi Ovid, and he is from UCLA. Actually, the application process for the next student regent designate is already, I believe, underway, and I am not sure if it is closed yet, but if that is something that you are interested in, you can check it out. There's an application process for that.
I'm doing my best to hold back a snarky remark about, you know, the region being from Berkeley. We're the first UC.
what was the second?
What?
The second UC?
Was it LA or no?
I don't know, actually.
LA or San Francisco?
But you listener, if you know, feel free to call in and you will get bonus points from the Highlander newsroom for your response. The bonus points are redeemable for...
free Uber rides, right?
For...
I don't have those cards.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the bonus points are redeemable for, but we'll get back to you on that.
I actually want to add quickly, since I was apparently ignorant that we had a student regent. First off, why don't we have more? Or at least perhaps one from every campus. That would be a nice start.
I think, if anything, they're against tuition hikes.
Yeah, like generally speaking. I'm just throwing ideas off the wall to present the idea that our one student regent does not have enough, you know, of influence in the entire board to make a change.
Well, whatever the changes that maybe we can, I think we can all agree that there needs to be more open communication between the UC administration and between students, especially when it comes to matters of tuition, which affect almost all students very, very directly. Right where it hits in the pocketbook, especially when everybody is going to college now, a college degree is integral for obtaining a job after graduation, but. We have to move on to the ASUCR, which recently created a food pantry on campus. They recently voted to do that during one of the last meetings of the quarter, in winter quarter. And the intent behind this is to create a spot for low-income students who may not be able to feed themselves on a regular basis, to have a spot where they can go and eat, have food available that they can eat. I'm just curious, what do y'all think of this?
I just want to ask first, did it cost as much as our gear? Oh,
I don't know about ASUCR didn't fund it.
Well, yeah. Okay, go ahead, Amy.
Oh, I was just going to say that ASUCR didn't fund it. They voted to approve, I guess, what was it? What did they approve? Trying to create one?
Yeah,
but didn't,
like actually committee, well, they basically approved to create a committee that would work with other groups that already fund this to see where a spot would be. Where we would be able to find a spot if we could find a spot on campus to put the food pantry.
Mm-hmm. Hooray, bureaucracy. But yeah.
But it's the first step in a process to actually create it. So I guess that's good, right? Like it's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's true, but where's the piggy bank?
Yeah.
Didn't the Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs announce that his office was donating 10,000?
Yeah. 10,000, yeah. Yeah. But wow. Like it's the associated students like put their name on it, but they didn't put
their money on sweatshirts, though. If that's any consolation for the students out there who are starving, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you can eat sweatshirts.
You can, but it's not recommended.
Okay, guys, please don't eat sweatshirts.
Don't eat sweatshirts. Where do you guys think would be like the ideal location for a food pantry? Like one of the things that they were talking about was the ASUCR kitchen. That was something that was mentioned. Aaron is shaking his head no.
Where's the...
If it's anything like our kitchen, I don't think there'd be adequate enough space.
Enough space. But then again,
our kitchen's kind of like my food pantry.
Wait. I just want to ask.
Our kitchen is literally a cabin.
Like,
yes.
Has their own kitchen?
Yes, they do.
And the student...
I mean, it's not like a restaurant kitchen. It's like they have cabinets and a sink.
Oh. Mm. Oh, so
and
like,
a refrigerator.
So like our...
So like a cabinet and sink refrigerator, like almost like
what we have,
almost like most apartments without stoves or ovens.
Okay, because for a second I was like, oh wow, this is really like nice.
No, it's nothing. It's not nothing. No, it's not like a 5-star kitchen with a sous chefs and everything. But where do you guys? One of the locations obviously was proposed to be that, but one of the things I was thinking of was it might be cool to put it like in the community garden. Which is about by lot 30. It's really close to where a lot of students are going to be commuting from campus. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you all think about that, or if there's a better location to put it.
I think that's a good idea.
What would happen to the garden? Would it replace the garden?
It could be, there could be something that, they do get electricity out there, so you could easily hook up, like, a refrigerator. You could build some cabinets, like, kind of build, like, a place that's shaded from the sun. Sort of like, not a gazebo, but something that's similar to that, some shaded area where it could be stored. And then it could also get more foot traffic for the community garden, which is still trying to get off the ground and try to become something awesome. So,
and plus there'd be plenty, you know, of space for students to eat at, since there's that dirt lot next to lot 30.
Yeah.
This is a bad joke.
Well, either way, it'll be interesting to see how it develops, and it'll keep going in the future, and hopefully the food pantry will become something that UCR can be proud of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good idea that we brought that program here. I think we're the last UC to finally implement it.
So, yeah. So we'll hopefully UCR can make it work.
Saving the best for last.
Saving the best for last. Yeah, that's an exactly way. A perfect way to end the show. So we're out of time, unfortunately. But thank you, everybody, who has been listening to the show. This has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. For Aaron Gretsch,
check out our April Fool's issue. There's a lot of interesting stories. UC President Napolitano threatens to release the Kraken, written by Nathan Swift. There's also ASUCR gives away free Life Vests, written by Amy Zahn.
Aaron's just plugging everybody else's articles.
And a UCR professor gets a $5 million grant to go hunt Moby Dick. So that's all in this week's April Fool's issue.
And that one was written by Aaron Gretsch. we can't let you pass off without being all selfless. Nathan Swift?
Well, I'm not going to plug that issue since you just did. I was going to plug my Kraken article, but I don't know.
Quick, think of something witty. All right, excellent.
I hope you guys enjoy spring quarter. Yeah.
Good advice. Amy's on.
Everyone should drop all their hard classes. It makes your life so much easier.
Don't say.
And I don't know about that. What if the hard classes are the ones that you have to take?
It'll make your life so much easier in the short run. That's what we're about here.
Just stop going to school and your life will be so much easier in the short run.
If you're taking Greek and Latin, drop them now. Your life will be so happy.
I guess being an eighth year senior is cool.
Yeah, if it doesn't include taking those languages, then it's very cool.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to us, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week back on the Highlander Newsroom.